to NURFM 103.7. Well, we know that smoking is not the greatest thing that we can be doing. Having a look this morning at some of the collective research that's out there from the University of Newcastle with Professor Billy Bonesky. Good morning, Billy, joining us this morning. Now, you've recently written a discussion paper that does cover a lot of research that's been out there. Have there been some interesting findings? Are there too many surprises in what the research is telling us in regards to smoking rates?
Not necessarily surprises, but what we're finding from all the data around Australia, and this is quite common in other high-income countries as well, like the US and UK, is that although smoking rates are falling in the general population and our tobacco control measures have been just so successful, there's still subpopulation groups where smoking rates are really, really high. And those population groups are now bearing the brunt of tobacco-related disease.
Interesting, as the research tells us there, that in around 1986, 31% of people were smoking, and it's now 14%. So it's more than halved generally across the whole population. But some of those groups that are still that haven't made much of a move at all, I guess we're looking at those in the lower socioeconomic areas, poor mental health, incarceration, etc. Why hasn't there been much of a move in that end of society when overall people are starting to get the message?
Yeah, that's right. And I think that it's a really complex answer. There's a number of reasons why smoking rates have remained high in these groups, and they range from some social factors and environmental factors. Like in a lot of these communities, smoking is still quite normal, and there's this community sense of everybody you know smokes. So if you try to quit, it's really hard to find any sort of social support to quit. And then at the other end of the scale, we also know that within a lot of these groups, the nicotine dependence is really heavy and high. So, you know, they started smoking at a younger age because their mum and dad probably smoked as well. And so by the time they're adults, they're really heavily nicotine dependent. So they need that extra help in quitting smoking.
Do you think that the traditional messages of quit because it's bad for your health, because of this reason and that reason, are not getting through because it's just not cutting through on its own merit, or are they just being ignored, or is it a case of, you know what, I hear you, I see you, but we're just going to do our own thing?
Yeah, I think the messages are getting through because the research that we've done shows that these smokers really want to quit. They know it's not good for them, so those educational messages have gotten through and they're motivated to quit. They report having tried quitting in the past, but they've not had enough support in their quit attempts. And so when they try to quit, after a day or a week, they always relapse back to smoking. So the messages alone is not enough for these guys. They actually need more help in their quit attempts.
So you mentioned support. Obviously, that's not going to come from, in terms of these groups, the people that are around them. So something external has to fill that void. What do you think that should or could look like?
Yeah, one of the things that we're doing now with our research is that we're working with service settings that have got good reach with these population groups. So we're working with mental health facilities, we're working with drug and alcohol clinics, we're working in prisons, and we're working with social community organisations like Salvation Army and Uniting Care, those sorts of organisations. And we're working with them to give them the resources to help their clients quit smoking, because those organisations are seeing what smoking's doing to their clients and how it feeds into that vicious circle of disadvantage. So they acknowledge that addressing smoking is a priority for their client groups.
Hopefully it continues to be a priority. I guess that the question generally was how long is a piece of string, but I guess all those involved will keep working on it. Thanks for shedding a little bit of light on this morning.
Thank you so much.
Professor Billy Bonesky, and some surprising yet not surprising results on smoking rates across the country here at 2NURFM 103.7.